Yamato, the drummers of Japan return to the Grand Theater in Wausau with their Power of Human Strength tour. Experience the explosive energy of these talented musicians when they take the stage on Friday, March 7th. With more than 40 different taiko drums, Yamato engulfs the audience in energetic sound. Yamato. Tickets at grandtheater.org.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammie McCormick. President Trump spoke to Russian President Vladimir Putin today about ending the war in Ukraine.
I think I can say with great confidence he wants to see it ended also. That's good.
Trump spoke to Ukrainian President Zelensky as well, but indicated there will be more contacts with Putin without the Ukrainian leader.
We think we're going to probably meet in Saudi Arabia the first meeting. Hasn't been set, but not too distant future.
In Brussels, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth also told European defense chiefs that Ukraine won't be the same.
We want, like you, a sovereign and prosperous Ukraine. But we must start by recognizing that returning to Ukraine's pre-2014 borders is an unrealistic objective.
Instead, he said Ukraine should prepare for a negotiated peace settlement to be backed up by international troops. Tulsi Gabbard was sworn in today as the Director of National Intelligence.
I, Tulsi Gabbard, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Senator Mitch McConnell was the only Republican to vote against her confirmation. Immigrant rights groups have sued the Trump administration for access to immigrants transferred to Guantanamo Bay. CBS's Camille Montoya Galvez reports it's not just dangerous criminals the administration sending there, but low-risk migrant detainees as well.
This undermines the messaging from the administration that Guantanamo Bay would only be used to house and detain the worst of the worst. But in other ways, it does reinforce a message that the administration has communicated to the public repeatedly, and that is that no one in the U.S. illegally is now protected from detention and deportation.
President Trump says the Kennedy Center's board has voted unanimously to make him the new chair. CBS's Stacey Lynn has reaction.
A longtime Kennedy Center patron told CBS News it's, quote, totally inappropriate, horrifying, and unprecedented for him to call himself chairman. She added, this is a very sad and unsettling time for the arts in this country.
It's the first time a U.S. president has removed his predecessor's Kennedy Center chairman and taken the job himself. A new inflation report out today showed grocery prices soaring, and that includes hard-to-find eggs. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
The index for eggs increased by 15.2% in a single month, the largest increase in the egg index since June of 2015.
The numbers, she says, make it highly unlikely the Fed will cut interest rates anytime soon. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com. For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Craft breweries who use cans are getting crushed by tariffs. President Donald Trump's newly announced tariffs, a blanket duty of 25% on all steel and aluminum imports, are expected to negatively affect the nation's craft brewers by driving up the cost of critical materials used to brew, house, and serve their beer. And these potential hits are landing at an unwelcome time for the industry, so prices will probably go up. Sales data for beer and aluminum cans accounted for approximately 75% of craft breweries' packaged volume and revenue, and a good number of those beer cans aren't made in the U.S. and come from Canada. In terms of steel, Canada and Mexico account for nearly 40% of what the U.S. imports, and the new tariffs, set to take effect on March 12th, are forecasted to raise producer prices for steel and aluminum by 15 to 20% in the coming months. This could cost consumers an extra $8 billion a year. And funding for new electric vehicle stations across Wisconsin is now up in the air, just days after Governor Evers celebrated one of the first ones to open in the Northwest region. In a memo last week, Federal Highway Administration officials suspended the National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Program, which was used to build the charging stations in the region. This freeze could cost the state nearly $7 million that had already been approved for 15 projects. The state had planned to award roughly $22 million for 53 projects in total. And with the recent snow, snowmobile trails in Taylor County are opening up today. Trails east of Highway 73 and north of Highway 64, with the rest of them opening up on Friday. County officials remind snowmobilers that the trails are in early season conditions, with possible rough spots in swamps and fields. Trails are also open in Oneida, Lincoln, Langlade, Forest, and Vilas counties now. Here in Marathon County, Zones 1 and 3 partially opened on Monday on the Mountain Bay Trail, from Kelly Club going east into Shawnee County. All other zones and trails remain closed. Off-trail riding is trespassing and could result in trail closures or citations. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underle is seeking another term, and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant.
Show on 98.9 WXCO, presented by K5 Construction. With Jeff Gress, I'm Chad Holmes. Normally, now we'd have our student athlete guest, but they had a late postponement and not able to pick anyone else up. So we'll try to make good on it before the end of the season, but just more Jeff Gress. So that's the way we like it.
That's a tough selling point. You keep saying that, and people might be turning the radio
off. By the way, before we get back into the boys' basketball, make sure everybody tunes in on Friday, because if you like what you get tonight, we are doing a
Valentine's Day special.
A girls boys basketball doubleheader on Valentine's Day.
Yes.
We will be over at Marathon on Friday night, as it's both the, I think the boys play first, if I'm not mistaken. I gotta double check this, but Marathon Red Raiders, the boys first, and then the girls, as they take on the Phillips Loggers. So that's a pretty good crossover doubleheader.
It is.
But the thing about it is, normally I would be doing the game. If you tune in, you'll hear me, and I talk all the time. But on Friday night, Jeff Gress will be there as my color commentator.
So if you have nothing to do on Valentine's Day and you want to spend the Valentine's Day with Chad and I, just turn the radio on. I think that's a good selling point.
5:20 pregame, 5:30 for the tip. For the first game, the boys, I think it's the boys. Again, I got to double check that. And then we'll have the girls right after that. So it should be a fun one, Marathon and Phillips. I know you're looking forward to it.
I am. It is fun. I enjoy when we get to talk sports. It's just the different dynamics of it and in a different atmosphere. And we did the one, this is a while ago.
Northland.
Northern Luther, Wisconsin.
And even though that wasn't great, a huge Wisconsin game, Valley Lutheran.
Yeah, but it was still fun.
Yes,
it was. It's cool. So I appreciate the invite and appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Well, we were not quite through with the boys basketball where we stand right now. CWC East, still undefeated, is Bondewell, both in the conference, 11-0. And overall at 19-0. Whitburn is 10-1 in the league, 16-3 overall. Iola having a good year, 8-3 in the conference, 14-5 overall. Shiocton 6-5 in league, 10-9 overall. Menominee Nation 4-7 in conference, 11-9 overall. Wyawega Fremont 3-8 and 6-13. Amherst and Manawa struggling, 1-10 in the conference, 6-14 for Amherst, 6-13 for Manawa. And Friday night, Wittenberg-Burnhamwood had a little bit of a struggle with Amherst, winning 60-51. Jet Rogowski had 29 points in that game. Bondewell, one of the closer games they've had in conference, beat Shiocton 85-75. And Wyawega beat Manawa 49-43, and Iola over Menominee Nation 67-49. And then Whitburn had that loss to West, as we talked about earlier in non-conference. But Bondewell still undefeated, but still just one game ahead of Whitburn.
And I think for Wittenberg, they're just keeping pace. They got the win over Amherst. I think somewhere in there they might have beat, I can't remember if it was Edgar, they played Amherst again, but they had another nice win in that game. And then Monday night, West is a good basketball team, and they're going to get after you defensively. So I think it for Wittenberg to get to play up, to play against a good Valley opponent in terms of playing Wausau West last night, and to have to take them on in their home court atmosphere was probably a lot of fun. And I think they're going to probably be they've scored more points than 36 a lot of nights. So I think they're going to be looking to prove themselves. And as we'll talk about in the upcoming segments, they got a big one on Thursday.
CWC North, Tigerton, 7-0, 17-1, having a very fine season. Northland, 6-2, 10-7. White Lake, 5-2, 10-6. Boulder, 2-4 in the conference. Gresham, 1-5. Marion, 0-8. And for Northern Lutheran, not a bad week. Friday night, they defeated Marion, 59-32. Andrew Wickman, who was a guest early in the season, had 20 points in that game. Andrew Boleen, 12 as well for Northland. And then last night, they beat Faith Christian by a score of 88-35. So good for Northland as they still fighting. But Tigerton, is that the you said that the old Pittsburgh coach is there?
Yeah, Coach Danoff has been there the last couple of years. And I think I thought Tigerton won the conference last year, and he's continuing the stretch where he's really.
Was Pittsburgh in the league when you were coaching?
Yes, they were in the Marrowood. So, yeah, so he was, that was the only thing. I think Coach Hoffa was the only coach when I started out. I looked a little older then, so we both looked pretty baby-faced, and he looked a little, just a tad bit younger than I did.
And yet he's returned.
Yes, he's having fun still back at Tigerton, doing an outstanding, I mean, at 17-1 mark, and probably might have enough to take that conference now because Northern Lutheran's two games back, and I know Tigerton, I think, has beat them twice. So I think they're owning that conference. But also nice to see, I like to see schools evolve a little bit. So for Faith Christian Academy of Wausau to get start getting in some games and play in some of the area teams, we'll see where that goes. I think that's always good to see a program get started, try to get some WIA affiliation, start to thrive.
And I think it's good for the school to offer basketball and athletics and theater and all the other stuff that's important to a school. And it'll be a process, but and obviously they're having, you know, some issues, wins and losses, but at the same time, I think it's something that's not just for sports, but I think for the school itself.
Yeah, it's that sense of pride and that sense of community, and I think sports can, it gives kids another opportunity to do well at something and something that will be a markable memory on the rest of their lives, and at the same time, it's for administration and people to put these things in process to try to get to be part of something, to whether it's join the WIA, get in a conference eventually. It's a process. It takes some time. So good for them to put their efforts forth to that, and good for that school to have a team.
Girls, Wisconsin Valley Conference, Stevens Point, still rolling. 10-0 in the conference, 17-4 overall. Marshfield, 7-2, 11-10. Wausau West, Rapids, and Everest in a battle for third. Warriors, 5-5 in conference. Rapids and Everest, both 4-5. Merrill, 1-8, and East is still looking for that first win. The big one was last night, and Stevens Point beating Marshfield, 67-46. Jada Seibert, boy. She is so good. I mean, she really is. She's only a sophomore, and she steps up every night. 30 points last night. Haley Klum, 12 for Marshfield. And she had 25 in the win against Merrill last Thursday as well, Jada Seibert. But that was an impressive win because Marshfield had been playing, I think, actually better basketball than the first time these teams met.
Right. And for Spash, overall record 17-4, unblemished in the conference. I think just it shows that they are the overall number one. And then I think I agree with you. Marshfield is playing better basketball in the games that we've seen them in recently in the second half of the season. But I still think just Spash, sole commander of that conference, and I think so much roles. You know, you've seen her play live. You talk about how good that
as a freshman last night. I wish I could see her this year.
Well, and I saw on the previews or on the sports last night, that's who it showed. She was taking, she takes it to the basket so fluidly. She's got a nice jump shot. And that team doesn't get any older because another girl that's always in the highlights is, I don't know her first name, but it's Aoi.
Leah.
Yep. And she's only a freshman, and she's putting up points.
Yeah, she had 14 in the game against Merrill on Thursday night. Yeah. You're exactly right.
So it doesn't get any – graduation doesn't hinder Spash here. They're going to continue to be around for the next couple of years.
you had Wausau West winning the last two nights, and good for the Warriors. 64-53 against Chippewa Falls Monday. Ayla Christensen, 15. Iris Wallvogel and Olivia Colwell, 12. Paige Anderson, 11. And then last night, made it back-to-back, 80-44 over Wausau East. Paige Anderson at 19, Ayla Christensen, 16, and Harper Mead, 14. And, again, it's quite a battle there between West, Rapids, and Everest. And it's interesting that Everest swept West, West swept Rapids, and I can't remember who won the game between Rapids. I think Rapids beat Everest, too. Yeah. But these teams are kind of beating up on each other, and in the end, they're basically all around 500.
Yeah, they still have similar records right there. I think for West, just to develop, because as we've looked at the scores throughout the year, there's just been inconsistencies, which shows that 8-15 mark and kind of surviving in the conference at 6-5. So I think, you know, right now, again, as coaches, you want to get as many W's as you can down the stretch, not only for seeding purposes, but as to build that confidence so teams are trying to get as ready as they can offensively and defensively by peaking at the right time. And so you're trying to get your team and you want to feel comfortable as a coach getting them in the right spot as they make their run down the season to get the highest success rate that you can out of the end of that season, whether it's a couple playoff wins, whether it's just getting one playoff win, whatever it may be that you think is a markable measurement. And then there any extra surprises along the way is good. So I think for West, Everest, those two teams in particular, just looking to continue to build on some of these recent games that they've played, especially Everest being new coached and kind of creeping up the ways of the Valley, getting in the middle of the pack. I think that's a big growth spurt from where they were at the bottom feeders last
And frankly,
season.
That Everest win at West last Thursday was impressive. I mean, because we had seen Everest kind of struggle a little bit. Yeah. But they were able to get the offense going and win rather easily, 56-41, and they had three players in double figures. Alyssa Chmielewski, 16, Kirsten Hall, 15, McKenna Bullis, 13. And again, that's one of the programs I'm curious to see develop the next few years, because I do think Coach Bullis is, and I talked to the AD, Mike Matthews, at the hockey last weekend, and I think he's, you know, likes what he's seen, and he obviously knows it. He's been around that program as well. But I do think that Everest is going to be a program that rises in girls basketball, and I think that'll be good for the conference.
Right. I think good for the conference, good for the school, good for our area again, because you want to see these teams continually get better, and especially when you know, that's what you want each year. Is when you start your first year, you want some measurable growth from where the program was at. Then you want to take it and build it again a little bit more. And coaches, players, programs get to decide what that measurable growth is. But that you want to keep seeing them get better. And for some of the stats you rattle off with those girls putting the ball in the basket, I think that's a big deal to hit those double digits, because so often their averages are a little bit below that at 8-9. And I think they're going to hop out and test themselves. They got Mosinee. I think that's a big game Where have we come from the beginning of the year to the end of the year with how we play against Mosinee a little bit? Something measurable there.
Speaking of Mosinee, GNC girls, you got Lakeland 11-0, 18-4 overall. Mosinee 8-2, 14-5. Rhinelander 7-3, 12-9. Medford 5-5 in league, 10-11 overall. Tomahawk 4-6, 11-10 overall. Pines 1-9 and 5-16. Antigo 0-11, 2-17. Again, in this, I think it was Great Northern earlier on the boys' side.
You're going to say the same thing.
Yeah, basically the same thing here, that not a lot of competitive games, big performances. Lakeland put up 100 against Pines Friday, 131. Christina Womet, 33. Eva Evenhouse, 12. Sailor Timmerman, 10 points, 13 boards. And then Womet with 26 in the 65-21 win over Tomahawk. Mosinee also winning big. 86-24 over Antigo and beating Pine 75-36. Rhinelander beat Tomahawk 52-32, but then in a non-conference game, lost to Shawano 52-23. And right now, I'm looking at the top of this league, Lakeland and Mosinee, they're building towards the playoffs. Rhinelander with the big injury, they're scuffling a little bit.
Well, and then we've talked about some other teams already. When you take some of those key scores out, it goes into survival mode, or you have to totally find something to replace it if it's season ending in any way. And I don't know.
She's been out for a while.
Yeah, so we don't really know Clark's status, but that's a big chunk of the keys to their success with 22 points a game. So I think, you know, obviously Mosinee can't catch Lakeland, but they're continuing to build 14-5 mark, and they're having some continued success as we go down the stretch here, and I know Lakeland wants that final push in Womet's senior season.
Merriwood South, Assumption 14-0, 20-1 overall. Stratford still playing very well, 12-2, 17-4 overall. Auburndale right there at 11-3, 17-4 overall. Marathon 9-5, 16-5 overall. Edgar 3-11, 7-15. Newman 2-12, 3-17. A big road win for Stratford last Thursday, winning at Marathon 46-39. Carly Pankratz 22, Miley Halkey 19. Pankratz 22 for the Tigers, Halkey 19 for the Raiders. Marathon bounced back Friday with a win against Abbey, 56-38. Halkey 16, Kyla Heisey 13. Stratford played again Friday as well, beating Shawamigan by a score of 65-21. And then last night, another win for Stratford, 64-24 over Newman. And Assumption beat Marathon last night, 72-41. Some balanced scoring for Assumption. Anna Schooley, 17 points, four Royals in double figures. And Auburndale continuing their winning ways as well. They had beat Prentice in the crossover Friday and then knocked off Edgar last night as well. So I would say for Assumption, Stratford, and Auburndale, all good weeks. For Marathon, I wouldn't call it a bad week because, again, Stratford is so good, Assumption is so good, but it just shows, I think, Marathon, the thing that jumps out about Marathon really quickly, every game they're supposed to win, they've won. And that says something because that's not easy to do. It sounds easy to do, but the only five losses are against the creme de la creme of that conference.
Right. They're taking their hits from teams that are up above them, maybe have, you know, like Substance has a 20-1 mark, 14 overall, so they lost to Assumption twice. That's kind of expected. You're kind of going in there to see what your team's made of and maybe things you can tweak as the season goes on with the expectation you're going to try to win the game, but at the same time, you're playing a very good basketball team. I thought, you know, Stratford had a good solid week. They won every game that they were supposed to win and continues to that 17-4 mark, 12-2. Not going to catch Assumption probably. The Assumptions just dominated everybody, and you can see that happens point-wise. Auburndale continues to be steady and roll through the teams that they're versing. And I think, like I said, you know, Marathon, again, take it from last season to this season. They've just played much better basketball, and it showed up in the scores. It shows up in their overall record. It shows up where they're sitting at in the conference and looking to see what they can do early, obviously this Friday, but as well as early on in the playoffs. I think they're a formidable foe. They play very competitively, and they can sneak up on teams and maybe looking to push through that one that, you know, there's going to be that game you're not supposed to get. And can you get through that a little bit through all these trial and errors that you've had throughout the season?
Marawood North Phillips, who we'll see on Friday, is in first place at 11-3, 17-5 overall. Rib Lake, 8-5, 11-8. Prentice, 6-8 in conference, 9-12. Abbotsford 4-9, 4-15. Athens 2-12, 2-17. Shawamigan 1-13, 3-18. But Phillips doing well this past week, beating Shawamigan on Monday, beating Abbotsford on Tuesday. And they're always an entertaining team to watch. And I think that would be a fun one to see them against Marathon on Friday.
I liked last year when I saw them play at Newman, the pace that they played at. That was enjoyable. My favorite version of basketball is getting up and down the floor and pushing the ball and pressing, and they did that. And I really liked the way those girls got out in the open, looked for each other, made the extra pass when they had to. So I think that'll be an exciting brand of basketball. But again, the continued success up for that team in the Northwoods, it's there. I mean, they have Rib Lake coming up, and I think they have the conference. They win that, hands down, it's theirs. They should, but I think we'll see some little bit of taste of that. And on the other side of that, I think that's a good game for Marathon. We've talked about for Phillips to see if they mm-hmm. can you get this one. They're at the top of the conference. Yep. Maybe because they're at the top of the Marawood North, they're considered to be a little bit better basketball team. You go squeeze that one out. I think you got continued stuff to build on for Coach Snyder and his ladies at Marathon.
CWC East, Whitburn still perfect. 12-0 in the conference, 20-0 overall. Bondoel right there, 11-1, 17-4. Wyawega Fremont, 7-5. Menominee Nation, 6-6. Amherst, 4-8. Iola Scandinavia and Shiocton, 3-9. Manoa, 2-10. Whitburn just doing Whitburn things. Started Thursday, 56-29 against Amherst. Rory Salveson, 16. Melena Granquist, 13. Then on Monday, Whitburn beating Oconto, 59-34. This time it's Granquist leading the way with 18 points and 10 rebounds. Rory Salveson had 17, and then Amherst had the unenviable task of seeing Whitburn again last night, this time at Amherst, but this didn't matter to the Chargers as they beat Amherst 57-20, Salvison 18, Granquist 16 points, 10 rebounds, and of course, Bondwell, they stay right behind. They beat Shiocton Friday 62-23. Friday night.
I tell you,
if I wasn't working, I would drive to Bondwell to watch that game.
It's going to be fun. I mean, can you imagine? It's just going to be packed.
I think so. Bondwell against the undefeated Chargers. I mean, that is...
It's what it's waiting for.
That's
for that conference. I mean, that's for the conference either to win it outright or for the other group to tie. But Wittenberg, you got to... Just credit where credit's due. To be 20-0 at this point in the season, you usually, for some reason, have a hiccup. I remember they didn't have a lot of hiccups last year.
No.
And they only did because they had some injuries, and you can't control that. And what a... interesting 1-2 punch. Every time you read the stats on these girls, one time it's Selvis and the next time it's Granquist. And we've even heard other numbers where they're getting some double digits out of the other players on the team. So that just shows the level of completeness that this team is. And so I'm hoping they do some things in playoffs, bust through there. I know they were a little bit injury-ridden at the end of last season where they ran out of a little gas, so to speak, because of that. So it looks like firing on all cylinders, but I just love the fact that you have that big game on Friday.
Yeah.
At Bondo. That's what you want. That's it, players. I know there's pressure there. I know everybody gets a little worried, but it's just such a. This is what high school sports about. Those type of environments that is why it's all worthwhile to go out and watch that stuff.
We're going to take a quick timeout and then talk about the hockey brackets. Some area teams got some good seeds, and the playoffs begin on Tuesday. So we'll talk about that coming up next here on The Big High School Sports Show, presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO.
Hello there, this is James,
Melissa,
Chad,
and Seth, inviting you to come work with us. Civic Media is looking for a full-time sales professional to work with existing and new broadcast and digital media clients.
We're a fast-growing company that offers competitive wages, benefits, a relaxed working environment that focuses on quality of life, and includes a team of support to reach our shared goals.
Join us in continuing what we have done for 80 years. Be a part of the community, put into the community, celebrate community.
Find out more by contacting Chuck Gennaro at 715-935-8030 or email chuck.gennaro@civicmedia.us. All inquiries are confidential. Civic Media Incorporated is an equal opportunity employer, and we look forward to you joining us.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
K5 Construction is a family-owned and operated builder in central Wisconsin that stands out from the rest for its commitment to quality and excellence. From design and planning to final construction, K5 Construction delivers superior results on every project. Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction. With Jeff Gress, I'm Chad Holmes. It's always great this time of year because every Sunday you get ready to get some brackets.
Right.
The first week is the hockey brackets. This week there'll be a show actually on television for the girls basketball brackets, and then next weekend it will be the boys basketball brackets. But hockey brackets have come out. First of all, just to recap, the Wisconsin Valley Conference hockey season came to an end last night. Stevens Point finished off a perfect year, 10-0 in the conference. They're still perfect overall. Beat Marshfield 14-1 last night. Also, Wausau West defeated Wisconsin Rapids 6-2. That meant Wausau West finishes second at 8-2. DC Evers third at 6-4. Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln 4-6. EMU, East Merrill United 2-8. Marshfield 0-10. The thing that kind of jumped out about the Valley in hockey this year. Everybody beat everybody below them. Swept them and got swept by the team above them. So Stevens Point, 10-0, they swept the five teams below them. West, 8-2, they lost twice to Stevens Point. They swept everybody else. DC Everest. They were 6-4. They lost twice to West. They lost twice to Stevens Point. Every team. I mean,
that's weird.
It is.
It's odd.
You don't see that very often.
No, that it could work out that precisely.
You usually see at least one game or one time.
Yeah.
One team time.
Shows consistency on those teams that are winning and shows that there's a next level up on each team.
Well, let's look at the brackets. Starting off in Division I, talk about the bracket that our area teams are in. And Stevens Point, as expected, perfect on the year. They did everything they needed to do. They're the number one seed in sectional number one. So they get a first round bye. They will play a week from tomorrow in a regional final against the winner of Tuesday night's game between number 9-seeded Eau Claire North and number 8-seeded Chippewa Falls. Also part of that bracket, EMU, East Merrill United. And I should say, you being a Newman guy, East Merrill, Newman Catholic,
right,
because they do have a player.
Corbin?
No, I thought it was somebody else.
I'm not 100% on that. I remember who used to play hockey in middle school.
Owen Reeves.
Yes.
Owen Reeves, yep. From Newman Catholic, so part of the Blue Jacks. But they are number 12 seed. They will be at number 5-seeded Eau Claire Memorial in their first playoff game next Tuesday. The winner of that game will move on to play the winner of the game between number 13-seeded Marshfield and number 4-seeded Hudson. And then the bottom of the bracket, Wausau West earned a number 2 seed. And I don't think people thought they were going to be a number 2 when the season started. It was a very good season for the Warriors in the regular season. Number 2 seed, a first round bye. So the Warriors will be hosting a regional final a week from tomorrow. They'll wait to see who wins the game between number 7 Superior and number 10 Thomas Sparta. And if it's Superior, they're always tough. And I saw them early in the year. West played them Thanksgiving weekend, second game of the season. And they got like 14 seniors. They're big. They're experienced. They're tested because they play a lot of Minnesota teams. So that would be a 7-2. That would be a very interesting game. But West played very well, and they beat Superior the first time, played very well in that game. Also part of the bracket, number 6 seed DC Everest. They will host number 11 seeded Wisconsin Rapids Tuesday night at Green Heck. The winner moves on to face number 3 seeded New Richmond a week from Thursday. So regionals next week, Tuesday and Thursday. Sectional semifinals on February the 25th. And the sectional championship game scheduled to be played in Superior on March the 1st. The thought is that if it's a West and Stevens Point, maybe won't make everybody go up to Superior. But
so all the brackets you read right there, were those fair seedings on what you think you saw, what you've witnessed? Did anybody, you know, like you said, Wes, a little surprised at too. Is there anything that, I mean, surprised in a good way, but is there anything
they
that jumps
it
out that,
well,
that
I think DC Everest being number 6 this year, that says a lot for the conference, because normally they've been around 8. They've been behind teams like Chippewa Falls and Superior. I mean, I know that it was tight between Everest and Superior for 6-7, but Everest played well, even in their losses against West and Stevens Point. In fact, should have mentioned last Thursday, we had a great game at Marathon Park. Everest took West to overtime, and West won it in OT 2-1, but I think the fact that they took West to OT gave them that little bit of extra, because also Superior had a bad loss against Eau Claire North. Otherwise, I think it would have been Everest being the number 7 and perhaps coming back to Marathon Park, which I'm happy that's not going to happen, because they always play so well at Marathon Park. That's one of the weird things. West plays much better on that big ice sheet at Green Heck. They have the Olympic size, big ice sheet. And Everest plays much better on the smaller ice sheet at Marathon Park. And that, again, one of the things about hockey that is interesting. Division 2. The Great Northern Conference basically has a full bracket, almost. Mosinee is a number 2 seed. They will take on number 7-seeded Medford in a regional final coming up on Thursday, next week Thursday. Winner will play either number 3-seeded Lakeland or number 6-seeded Sean Obandowell. Sean Obandowell, the only non-Great Northern Conference school in this bracket. Top half of the bracket, number 1 seed is Tomahawk. They take on number 8-seeded Rhinelander. And then there's number 4 Northern Pines against number 5 Antigo. And interesting, on Saturday of this week, the championship game of the Great Northern Conference tournament has Tomahawk and Mosinee. So they play on Saturday up in Rhinelander. And they could play again in a sectional final which would be played in Mosinee. And it'll be the second year in a row that Tomahawk is the number one seed and might have to play at Mosinee in a sectional final.
Which
annoys people, I'm
right.
sure.
Well, right.
But the thing is, sectional finals are always schools have to put in.
Yeah, they have to host for it, put in for it. Going to the Great Northern Conference, what do you, are you, let's say you're commissioner of that conference.
I hate the conference tournament.
That's what I was going to ask.
I hate it.
Would you do away with, because now, right, correct me if I'm wrong, because now you have a potential to see it. You've seen a team possibly twice in the regular season. You could see them in the conference tournament.
Actually, they do it a little differently. They only play once in the regular season.
Okay, so it can only be a max of three with the playoffs.
And I hate not having a home and home.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate everything the guys at Wisconsin Prep Hockey do, but they love the tournaments. They love these conference tournaments. And I disagree vehemently with that idea. I mean, I would not want to have taken away last Thursday's Everest West game or the second meeting between West and Stevens Point to have some sort of conference tournament.
Is a conference tournament for the conference championship?
I don't even know.
That wouldn't be right either. If you play consistently, and let's say you're the first place team, and let's say the second place team plays a little better and knocks you off in that conference,
I don't even know if these count in the conference standings or what. And it's hard to find brackets. I mean, it's like, if you're going to do it, at least let us know what's going on.
Right. That's what it says. What's the purpose of it?
Exactly. And then on the girls' side, in sectional one, Central Wisconsin Storm, number one seed. They will get a first round bye. They will be in a sectional semifinal on Tuesday, February the 25th, against either the Wisconsin Valley Union, which is the Stevens Point co-op, or Northern Pines. Bottom of the bracket, Superior, number two seed. They will wait for the winner of next week's Thursday's game between third seeded Hayward and number six Medford. And as we talked with Coach, number one seed was on the line Saturday. That was a true big game where Superior and the Storm, number one. Whoever would win that game would be the number one seed. And it is important because, as Coach said, the 2, 3, and 4 ranked teams in the state playing Hayward in the sectional semifinal or playing, say, Wisconsin Valley Union, two completely different kinds of games. So a big, big win Saturday to be the number one seed for the Storm.
Well, that's the great part about high school athletics and a specific sport in general in hockey is seeing these opportunities where these high school athletes have chances to step up, making the most of it, you know, taking the bull by the horns, so to speak, and running with it because there's a lot at stake. That's what that's about. And then obviously the Central Wisconsin Storm did that because there was a lot. And what I liked about what Coach Wimmer shared was that sometimes you got to know your team. And it might be against your judgment or who you are as a coach to let them get to the point they need to get to, and you roll with it because of your connections with those athletes and what you truly believe is best for them. But it's hard to change that. And she said she's done that on a couple occasions. One was with how they handled the anxiety going into the game and why they were tense and how we're going to make them untense, even though it's not normally what I would do. It showed they got the win. The girls stepped up, and now they're sitting in a nice spot.
And as the regular season wraps up in high school hockey this weekend, the final games are on Saturday. Got two really good ones. Tomorrow night, Wausau West, number 5 ranked team in the state, will travel to number 3 ranked Nina Hortonville Menasha, a really good test to launch into the postseason. 6:50 airtime right here on 98.9 WXCO. And then on Saturday night, number 1 versus number 2, Storm and the Bay Area Ice Bears. Again, it was a fantastic state championship game last season between those two. Could be happening again. Saturday night, a little bit of a later start. Yes, I'll just party afterwards. 7:20 airtime, 7:30 face-off from Ashwaubenon. So hopefully you can join us for those two games. And, of course, join us for the two games, the big games, on Friday between Marathon and Phillips with Jeff Gress as my color commentator. And we're going to talk about those big games and other big basketball games coming up next. We're going to take a quick timeout and be right back. Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction, 98.9 WXCO.
Are you an enthusiastic sports fan? Want to have fun and get in on the action?
Heck yes, that'd be awesome.
Have great attention to detail? Want to stay active?
Definitely.
Want to give back to the student athletes in your community?
Obviously, yes.
Then you'd make an excellent high school sports official.
We need more officials in Wisconsin. Because with no high school officials, there are no high school sports. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Sports show presented by K5 Construction, 98.9 WXCO. Time to look ahead. And again, getting to the end of the regular season, conference titles on the line. And of course, you want to get these wins because get as much good information into that computer before the seedings come out. The girls' basketball seedings coming up this weekend, and the boys just over a week and a half from now. So obviously, every game counts the same, but going down the stretch, you want to be playing your best ball, don't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You want to be as healthy as you possibly can be, and you want your kids as a collective group peaking at the right time, both offensively and defensively, and now's the time to do it. And like I think every game matters because you don't want to stub your toe on any of these games. You're trying to get as many W's as you can, continuing to improve in the areas that you need to finish the season out strong and roll into the playoffs.
Let's look at games in the Wisconsin Valley Conference. It's interesting because you got a mixture of conference games, non-conference games. Tomorrow night, conference games, and Thursday night. I don't know why they're playing on Thursday, not Friday, but that's a whole different kettle.
Fridays are more fun.
I know. It's like, but East and West at the Fieldhouse tomorrow night. Stevens Point and Marchfield. Another, I mean, this one really has a lot of juice, I think. And then Merrill at Wisconsin Rapids. And then next Tuesday, you got Marchfield at West. Another, I think, very interesting game. Everest is at Merrill. Spash at Wisconsin Rapids. But that Marchfield Spash game in Stevens Point, Marchfield is in great shape to win the conference. But the way Stevens Point has been playing, I would not be surprised at all to see Marchfield go down for the first time this year.
I'm excited. Well, and that's what you want to do as a team is probably the poster material in the locker room for Spash. It's like, let's knock one, take a game down. Nobody's taking a game away from them in the conference because Marshfield's always just either found a way to pull through or controlled the game from the get-go. So Spash is unique. They're a little different now. Howie gives them a whole new dimension, I think, in terms of size and some more athleticism. And it just looks like they're on the verge of between the scores they put up, the nice win down at the Pfizer Forum, they're starting to gel at another level than when Howie first came back. And obviously, Marchfield, I've seen them play different styles. They really seem to be kind of slowing the ball down this year and getting a little more methodical and in that way where they're gonna control the pace and they're gonna dictate what goes on in that game. So I think that one's an interesting makeup. East West is always a fun one because I even when how teams are made up or who has injuries, sicknesses, who's healthy, who's playing well, it still becomes that crosstown rivalry game. And I've seen things happen over the years where somebody's not supposed to beat somebody and they do. So I think that's still going to be a war even if Nagezik's not back and healthy just because it means so much for the crosstown rivalry. But again, an interesting play in the game there, those jockeying for position, trying to get one more in the book before the playoffs roll around. And I like the it's interesting to me to think that they still have a little room for non-conference games. I mean, like you said, Spash or Marshfield's going to play at Chippewa Falls. You got some Saturday games.
Yeah.
They're going to play at Chippewa Falls. DC Evers has Hudson before they jump back in. And so I think Spash has Appleton East on Monday, right?
Yep.
So I think those are going to be some fun games to sprinkle in the mix and still, you know, try to get one more for the computer.
Yeah. I mean, Hudson Evers in the same bracket. Obviously big games. Great Northern Conference. Friday, Moosonee, Tomahawk, Rhinelander, Lakeland, Medford, Pines. Those are the only conference games. And then a bunch of non-conference games on Tuesday. And again, I think the Rhinelander-Lakeland game is always an interesting game, but Rhinelander obviously cannot afford to lose that one being played in Minocqua. I would say that probably is the most interesting of the conference games.
And I think Rhinelander just looking at scores and how teams have taken them in the conference, and Rhinelander, I think Rhinelander's going to get that game. I'm still hoping that just Pines can make things interesting. I mean, Medford has to go over there on Friday night, and I think that, I don't know. It's probably going to be a little bit more challenging, but you never know.
Yeah, actually, you're probably right. A bigger risk for Medford maybe even than Rhinelander.
Yeah, it's got a lot of weight to it, but Medford's just been, again, people talk about how they're playing so well, they're getting the scoring they need. I just want to see how this all plays out, because all the other games, even the non-conference, yeah. I don't know enough about those non-conference teams to even make a judgment on. So I'm thinking the one at Pines is a big deal for Medford.
And I think Pines wants to bounce back. They got kind of whooped against Moosonee.
Yeah.
Nobody likes that.
No, not at all. And they're still sitting in a spot where they're probably jockeying for, and they're unique because there's not a lot of teams in our area in that Division III. I think Pines is still Division III, so they're one of the few teams there, so jockeying for some more position because they're a little over 500 in their overall record, and another W here or two would put them a little over 500 in their conference record.
Marrowood South got a crossover Thursday, Athens and Auburndale, then more crossovers on Friday. Phillips at Marathon. That is the big one because me and Jeff Grest will be calling that game right here on 98.9 WXCO. Rib Lake is at Stratford. Newman hosting Prentice. Shawamigan at Edgar. Abbotsford at Assumption. Pacelli and Auburndale. Really an interesting non-conference game on Saturday. Another good non-conference game Tuesday. Whitburn at Marathon. Wyoega Fremont travels to Stratford and Iola Scandinavian Edgar. So sort of a CWC East versus Marrowood Conference South crossover night on Tuesday.
Yeah, and for the crossover games, the most interesting one, just because they're at both at the top of those conferences, I think it holds out that Stratford gets to not play in their gym is the one where Stratford's going to play Rib Lake. So Rib Lake's got to come down, but I think that's probably the biggest game because there's a little weight there because Rib Lake's going to have to turn around. I think they may have, they're only up two games in that conference, correct? So if they lose to Stratford and lose to somebody else, that could make
them. They're three up.
Are they three up? Okay, then never mind. That's up. So I think, but I like the top of the conferences to play each other for. Auburndale will beat Athens. I think Marathon Phillips could be a little interesting one just because of those dynamic where those teams sit in each side of their conference. And I think I like the crossovers, though. I like the Edgar against the Iola. Marathon taking on Wittenberg will be a good one because of the way, Marathon always has that stingy defense yet, and they really know, they do a good job in their program of putting, the kids know where they're supposed to be. And if you watch them play defense, one of the things that I like about Marathon, active hands, moving feet, a lot of communication. And I think that's a big deal on how they play their team defense. And, you just saw Pacelli beat Marathon by one, and it'll be interesting to see how they do against another Marathon or Marrowood South foe in Auburndale on Saturday. And sometimes Saturday games, Saturday games are fun for the spectators, but the kids aren't as engaged, in my opinion, because they're not sitting in school.
Right.
And they come off that day, depends on what the coaches do. We used to get them up earlier for some shoot-arounds to get them out of bed.
CWC East, Bondiwell and Whitburn tomorrow. We talked about the girls. The boys have a massive game in Wittenberg tomorrow night.
That one's going to be the last. January 7th, Wittenberg lost by 20 over at Bondiwell. And obviously, Bondiwell's 19-0 overall and 11-0 in the conference. So I think again, it's at this is the second one. So that game, you know, if both coaches are talking, I'm sure the Bond and Wells coach is like, that one's out the door. Now we got to go over there and steal one and have our own. You know, they get this one, they own the conference, it's done, Bond and Well wins. And I'm sure Wittenberg, two things. They know what's at stake in that conference. And secondly, they're going to want to bounce back because I'm assuming at 36 points, they didn't have a real good offensive night against West. So they're going to do some adjustments to try to accelerate that because I'm pretty sure with the guard play that they have, that's going to be a strength there is to put the ball in the basket.
And playing a game against a team that plays such good defense like Wausau West, that has to help Whitburn in this game, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if, just think, even their best scores, if they have to grind it out dogfight to lose a guy, got a guy hanging them on all game, the minute they come off a pick, they think they're loose. Another guy's stepping up there. They're getting banged on the rebound. So good defensive teams, it's not, it's every position on the floor. They're hanging out. They're in your face. They're helping each other out. And that's not a fun night. So I think it makes you tougher. And when you get into that next game, you want to prove something, not only because you didn't have a good offensive night, but you want to prove that you can beat good defensive teams.
And Whitburn, that Marathon game, I mean, they are testing themselves down the stretch, aren't they?
Yeah, that's going to be a good team too, because Marathon's, they're not going to roll over Marathon. Marathon's another good defensive team. And I think both those teams are testing each other a little bit in a strong non-conference game Tuesday.
Girls, good non-conference game tomorrow. Spash against Regis. Regis, always a good girls basketball program. Back into the conference Friday. West and Marshfield, Spash and Rapids, Merrill and Everest. Then a bunch of non-conference games early next week. Not, and again, looking at the Valley this year, the more interesting games are sort of in the middle because again, there's it's a conference that is rebuilding, I would say, at this point.
Yeah, in the overall records, it shows kind of that, you know, they beat up on each other in the inside like you do in any conference, but, you know, Spash has been the only one to consistently do well against non-conference foes, and that's why they have the 17-4 mark overall. But, you know, New London's always a solid competitor.
Yeah.
Regis,
yeah.
So they've got to
Appleton East Monday. I mean, they're playing a lot of non-conference. You said it earlier.
I'm surprised.
A lot of non-conference.
And I'm surprised that they have that many games left, because a lot of teams, when you're looking at their schedules, and I was filling all my stuff for the show, have one game left. Or they could be done, like, by the end of that Friday may be their last game, and they're done waiting for playoffs to roll around. But Marshfield's going to get out and test themselves against Kakana tomorrow night. Like you said, West will have the Marshfield game Friday. And Marshfield's going back-to-back because they have Kakana. So it'll be interesting to see what you have. I mean, it's a good time to test yourself, but it depends on how good that Kakana team is. Are they going to push them? Are they going to get them up and down the floor? Are they going to physically make it difficult for the next night? And I want to see, we talked about kind of how Everest goes down the stretch. They have Merrill, who they always go back and forth a little bit within their conference right now, but they have the Mosinee game on Tuesday, which I think will be an interesting one to kind of let Everest set the tone of where they stand and maybe what they've grown into throughout the season.
Yeah, speaking of Mosinee and the GNC, Friday night conference activity, Rhinelander at Lakeland. I think early in the year that would have been interesting. Right now, the way Rhinelander's playing, it's a struggle, and Christina Womet just racking up the big numbers almost every night. Pines in Medford, Tomahawk, Mosinee. Mosinee has a pair of non-conference games. You mentioned the game against Everest Tuesday. They have Rice Lake on Monday.
So playing some bigger schools, Willamette, you know, doesn't hurt to mention. I think it's pretty impressive. If the numbers are right and everything's entered in good, it's about 31 points a game. I mean, that's the average. So she's filling the take up there.
And the thing about, real quickly, both Sailor Timmerman and Ava Evenhouse are both lanky, tall kids who also produce every night.
Yeah.
You see double-digit rebounds. They it is a team that seems to put the pieces together. And it does feel, like I said earlier, that both Lakeland and Mosinee are kind of peaking right now. I think they've both been playing some pretty good basketball.
Yeah, it shows in that win column for them. And I think you're going to see, obviously, Lakeland's going to win this conference. That Rhinelander game, like you mentioned, is toned down a little bit just because Rhinelander's been not being able to play as consistently.
Now you're the best player.
Yeah, it just makes a difference. And but still holding true at 12-9 and 7-3. And they'll probably struggle a little bit against Lakeland. Mosinee, I think those non-conference games are going to be good. You know, you're playing Rice Lake, who's the same size school. I'd have to check the brackets, but I think eventually they would have to go through them. I think for me. Bring my mic closer. Yeah. Sorry.
When you back away, I think you get a little too far away.
My bad. I think Rice Lake, I got to double check the brackets, but I think they have to go through them. So that'll be another good test, just a series stand. And jumping out of the conferences late in the season on Tuesday against DC Everest will be a good one. And not much more jumps out at that conference.
Marrowood has, again, some crossovers Thursday and Friday, but and then some non-conference early next week. Assumption Aquinas non-conference Tuesday is a big one. Any of the crossovers jump out?
No, I think Assumption's going to take Abby. Stratford will beat Rib Lake. I'm just looking on my list. Auburndale will beat Athens. You got the Marathon Phillips one will be, like, I think that's probably the biggest game in the crossover is the Marathon Phillips, because I think that we've talked about Coach.
Well, because you're doing the cover.
No, not at all. I think it's because it's definitely going to be a game. It's one of those games you want to go get. Go take down the conference champion on the other side and make a little bit of a statement win, because like we've mentioned, Marathon's getting the games they should. They're staying competitive in the games with the tougher opponents, but you just want to get over that hump and give your team some selling point. The Assumption, I think the Aquinas girls are good this year, because I think both them and the boys, I noticed, for Aquinas are ranked. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how Assumption does over there on Tuesday night against Aquinas. I think that's going to be a good basketball game with those two teams, even though they're different divisions.
And I guess finally, the game we touched on earlier, the biggest game of maybe of all the games, went to Burnhamwood and Bondwell on the girls' side Friday night.
I'm thinking we mentioned it off air because we talk a lot of basketball, but I just, the way Wittenberg is rolling and it's constantly Grandquist and Self, even though I know they're a good team and there's other kids there that are contributing, because you don't get to be 20-0 if you just have two kids. It's just amazing to me that how those stat lines, just one plays off the other, and I've never got to actually see them play, but I can only imagine it's a really good bunch of unselfish basketball, finding teams for the open shots, dishing the ball when it needs to get to somebody that might have a little bit better shot than you, and it's got to be about team defense, because they are controlling the games they're in. 20-0 at this point in the season is outstanding. And, you know, Bondwell, on the first time around, Wittenberg got them 63-40. But those records are both hanging really good. And it's all on the line, so you aren't going to leave anything to test. I think both these Bondwell-Wittenberg games for the boys and girls are going to be wars the next two nights.
45 seconds left. Any final thoughts?
No, I think it's just, I just said no. I mean, these conference races and these games, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. There's still some good jockeying that can happen a little bit on the boys' side when you look at the Great Northern Conference. And just for some playoff implications, what teams, I want to see the Valley keep jumping around so they can step up in their playoff bracket. And, you know, the Marrowood's still a war at the top for the Marrowood South boys.
And next week we'll have girls' playoff brackets to talk about. So it's an exciting time.
Coming fast and a lot of fun.
Enjoy. Join me and Jeff Friday. He's going to step out of the studio, be our color commentator, 520 Airtime, Marathon and Phillips. Girls, boys, doubleheader right here on WXCO. So
don't plug this again, man. You're putting a lot of pressure on me to sound like I know what I'm talking
about. See you next week.
Hey, folks, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We have all stopped at a convenience store for a necessity or two. A bottle of water, a half a gallon of milk, or a bag of pickle-flavored potato chips. I mean, those are necessities in your house too, right? But there is a cost for that kind of convenience, as much as 54% more. Now, when I was in my early 20s, like some of you, I may have done most of my shopping at the 7-Eleven around the corner from my apartment. And boy, oh boy, I wish I had known that shopping regularly at convenience stores instead of supermarkets meant I was paying a lot more for my groceries. A National Institute of Health survey recently found that milk can cost 11 to 14% more at those stores. Apples and bananas, 10 to 53% more. And cereal can cost as much as 54% more. So, for your regular food shopping, keep more money in your wallet and head on over to the supermarket. For more tips on saving, text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger. Something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM. W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Snowstorms move across much of the country with more expected in the coming days. In California, the National Weather Service says Los Angeles is in for a heavy rain that will last about 12 hours starting tomorrow afternoon. KNX's Craig Figner.
They have been in storm prep mode for a week. That's what the Director of Public Works for LA County, Mark Pestrella, is saying about this latest storm zeroing in on Southern California.
And we're very comfortable we're not going to lose control. Are our reservoirs, all 154 of them, are they cleaned to receive the mud and debris we expect to come off of the slopes? We are in a state of readiness with those facilities.
People with homes still standing in the Eaton Fire Disaster Zone, Altadena, they are being allowed to stay despite the threat of rock and mudslides. Craig Figner for CBS News, Los Angeles.
President Trump speaks with the presidents of Russia and Ukraine, and as CBS's Jennifer Jacobs reports,
he told us his phone call with President Putin